As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. God tells us a lot in the Bible about him being close to us, like a real good father is close to his children. And I would guess that our Father in heaven was everlasting Father, even before he invented, you know, fathers who would be in a household, or spiritual fathers who would take care of a church, watch over the people and so forth. God is our everlasting Father. And so he wanted that kind of relationship with us, where he was definitely the authority in our lives, okay, and also would draw us to be protected, provided for, and loved by him. So when King David wrote a great psalm of praise, 103, he used the word Father. The Lord is like a father to us. And he used the word all-encompassing, all-in-free, to describe some of the ways God reaches out to us. So here's some alls that David said, this is the way the Lord is to you and me. First he said, all that is within me, praise his holy name. It's good to know that there's a safe place where you could throw your whole body, soul, mind, and strength into the relationship. And that's your response of trust to Christ. Your heart's going to be somewhere. Sometimes we have a divided heart. Sometimes we say, I'll do three quarters for God and one quarter for me. Okay, but David said, all that is within me, praise his holy name. So you could be like that. You know, your world sets itself aright when you put the praise of God and the honor of God first. So it's a wonderful thing. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Then David says, forget not all his benefits. How many blessings the Lord gives. He forgives all your sins. Just in this room, we would say, well, that's thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of sins. That's right. You know, we're brokenhearted before God, but he forgives all our sins, removes them from us as far as east is from the west, and then heals all your diseases. Someday, we won't be fighting what we fight in our, you know, limited 90, 100 years. His kingdom rules over all. He's in charge of everything. His angels and his servants all do his will. And I love the song the children sang a couple weeks ago about so can I. If the animals catch their breath from God and praise him, dogs, cats, birds, bacteria, whatever it is, you know, they praise God, then we will too. We will too. We'll do so more gladly, hopefully with a bit of more intelligence than the rats and mice around the area and so forth. So all his angels and all his servants praise him. All his works praise him. We have a wonderful everlasting Father. Charles Spurgeon was good talking about God our Father, tying some scripture in and how the Lord desires to relate to us. So listen to this really good description. He said, you are continually on God's mind. That's from Psalm 103. He is constantly thinking of your well-being. Our Father's eyes are always towards you. He watches over you. He never sleeps or slumbers. We rest. We forget about God, but he's still checking us out, as it were. I don't know if the Lord does this, but that's the way he is. Your name is written on his hands. You are the apple of his eye. God has showered his love upon you. Probably took a shower in the last week, you know. You were immersed in that water. God showers his love on you that way. Our Heavenly Father has poured out his love into your hearts by his Holy Spirit. It's just like available to be passed on. And his thoughts towards you in friendship are too numerous to count. That's also Psalm 139. You know, who thinks of you and says, man, I just want to encourage that one, strengthen them, help them on the right path, lead them, guide them, provide for them. That's our Father in heaven. And God lets us know, because He loves us like that, He could begin to build in us that heart toward one another. So that dads in the home could be that way, and spiritual fathers, anybody a little bit more experienced, can do that for the younger ones. And Apostle Paul said, for example, to the Thessalonians, hey, he said, we treated you like a father, encouraging, strengthening, and reminding you to live a life that shows God has great worth. God has great worth. That's an understatement. And so us experienced Christian, if you're an experienced Christian and you've been walking with the Lord, say, 3 years, we'll say like the disciples did, then you have a responsibility and a love for the younger Christians. Just like in anybody's home. When the young ones, if they go astray, you're still you. You still watch after them. If they rebel, you're still you. You lead them back home. If they are broken, wiped out, have sin, whatever the case may be, you're still the dad. And you're still the spiritual guide for them. So that's the responsibility of any Christian who's more than 3 years walking with Christ. Watching out for the little ones. Not just watching out for you, Dad. What kind of a dad just looks after for themselves? That's a couch potato spiritual dad. Just give me more for me. I say affectionately, oh, don't be a dopey brother and sister in Christ. You know, you say, I am for the ones who need help. One blessing in our fellowship, we have probably a good 70 to 100 people who have walked with the Lord a long, long time. And I would call it, I would say they're pretty on the ball Christians. That's a lot of people to be helping the other ones. To be helping the people who have yet to come to Christ. So be like that good spiritual father that the Apostle Paul was, like our Father in heaven was to you. I want to share some things my own dad did to help us boys. And he wasn't a church guy. Didn't have a Bible come into his life till probably 50, 55. No Bible in America. That's just the way, you know, it's the way it was. But here's what Dad did. God used Dad to do this. First of all, for 2 years, he did take us to church every Sunday when we were 6 and 7. Because we were preparing for participation in communion. So he did that. He was consistent. And when we were there, we didn't like it. You know, we would count the lights on the ceiling, look at Mrs. McGillicuddy's funny hat every week, whatever the case was, anything but church. But he kept taking us, you know, respect God, something good about the Lord. That's the only thing I can remember. And he also gave us a dollar every week. Not for ourselves, but when the offering plate was passed, he said, here's this dollar, you put it in the plate. So we were, you know, don't drop the plate, don't drop the dollar. It was a big deal to us. It was just taught us, hey, honor God with whatever He gives you. It wasn't even our dollar. But so it was easy to honor God. But He taught us that. He prayed with us every night the Lord's Prayer. It's probably the only prayer He knew from the Bible. The Lord's Prayer. And it meant something to him, apparently, because he was a school teacher. And while having a homeroom of 12th graders, he's supposed to stand up as a teacher to lead the class in the Pledge of Allegiance. Well, I don't know if I shared this. He stood up one day, put our hands over our hearts, everybody together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed. Then, of course, he caught himself. So the Lord was saying, knocking on the door of his heart and saying, hey, don't forget about me and do thank me for the country. But he was a dad who was there a lot for us. So thankful. Good example for all us dads. Again, spiritual dads, being there for the young ones. Your presence represents the presence of God. Between the ages of 6 and 12, I knew where I was going to be every Friday night. I was going to be on the sidelines of a football game because he was the head coach. I got to be the water boy, towel boy, popcorn eater, you name it. It was great, you know. And it was Dad sharing his life with us. That's all. And what a great thing. He would be the one to take us to the doctors when we were sick. Mom couldn't handle us. We were too rough on Mom. He was patient and faithful. And he prayed to receive Christ in his early 50s. So you might know people, well, you know, they have enough, you know, they have enough in their soul. But God gave him good news. Jesus gave his life for you. You trust him. And my dad followed him all the way to heaven. He became an elder in the church, you know, volunteered in junior church, which is like the acid test of Christian love there. But God just used him, and so thankful. But what God put in him, it was really from God to try to help us three rebels. And all the good influence from my dad came from our Father in heaven, although maybe he didn't even know it. You'll see. You don't even have to know it. I would say, too, on my own, I'm not as good a dad as my dad was. I'm not as there as often as he was. I often look at my role as like a Candyland dad. If we go shopping, I'll buy the snacks. Regina, you buy the broccoli and cauliflower and meat and stuff they really need. But I'll buy the Doritos, popcorn, ice cream. And when we're home, when it's game time, I will be there. If it's work time, I think the church is calling me. You know, that's not good. But to be a dad who's there often in different contexts, this is what God has called us to. And that's the way he is for us. And I know when I'm walking with the Lord, praying to him, reading his word, trusting him, I am an improving father. You'll have to ask two true witnesses. They won't give you any fluff. So this is what he does, this is what he don't do. And this is the way the Lord is to us. So we can say, thank you, Father, for being our Father in heaven. No matter what our earthly dad was. Again, we as Christians have spiritual fatherhood toward other young ones. What is God? He is a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. Have a lot of widows in our church. You can be sure God is defending them in their difficult times. And when young people grow up, they say, well, Dad's not there, you know. I don't even know Dad. God will come and say, well, I'm going to be your good father. And that, people can sense that from the Lord. Closeness. And what kind of dad is he? As a father has compassion, his heart's toward us. We put our fear and respect in him. And he's compassionate, ahead of our ability to even show respect. Father of compassion, God who comforts us in all our troubles. Don't underestimate God's compassion. It's still on you and I. It's still on the whole earth. I know he's drawing people to himself. He's still saving people. Many times people say, which is understandable, we like the wrath of God. We want to hear more about the wrath of God. This will really change somebody, the wrath of God, the wrath of God. Louder with the wrath of God. Let's hear it. That's good to have the wrath of God. But the biggest wrath that God ever showed or will show was at the cross. See, because there sin of everybody was dealt with. Your sin and my sin, the sin of the lost guy, the sin of all the rebels today, that was dealt at the cross. When the second coming comes and he shows his wrath again, that's only, you know, the cross wrath was here. That wrath is going to be that compared to what Jesus had to deal with. So when you say, give me more God's wrath, you're saying, I recognize I need Jesus' shelter. And if you think of what God's wrath is, you don't ask for more God's wrath. You're scared to death of God's wrath upon you or anybody else. So let God be God. He'll have plenty of wrath to go around. And certainly His Son will tell us about that. Since He took the judgment not only of our sin, but of the sin of the whole world. That was the whole wrath of God. And so He's a God of compassion, drawing people to Himself. He wants closeness between us and Him. These ones did not make it on the screen. But here's some good ones. God says, no one can take you out of my Father's hand. He's holding on to us stronger than we could hold on to Him. So thankful you've experienced that on maybe your first roller coaster ride. You can't hold on to the bar. Maybe Dad's sitting next to you. He holds on to you more than you could hold on to Him. And Jesus said, when life is like that, He holds on to you. He says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. What if somebody in the room says, okay, I want everybody in the church to come and live with me. Come on. You know, I'm so fond of y'all and love y'all so much. Y'all come move into my house. Yay, let's go. Food and shelter and all this. The Father says that. The Father says that. Our Father in heaven. In my Father's house, many mansions. And He would prepare a place for us. That's how much He loves us. Here's our Father's heart too. He knows what we need before we ask Him. And that's like somebody who knows you, you know, you say, I need this and this, but they know, oh, this would be so much better. And God works that for us. He really loves us so much to give us even stuff we don't ask for that He knows we need. And sometimes we actually talk to Him about what He already knows we need. And here's a wonderful blessing about our Father also. Many times He'll work and we won't even know it's Him. And we won't even know He's doing it. And maybe we didn't even ask Him to do what He's doing. In John 5, there's a man who was paralyzed for invalid 38 years, it says. We have a dear one in our church paralyzed for 38 years, pretty much. It was a lot of inabilities. That's Jimmy Byerly. Okay. Now, this man's sitting by this pool. And he'll know who Jesus is. And Jesus says, you want to get well? He says, well, the guy doesn't even say, yeah, sure. You know, he says, I can't do nothing. Can't even get in this swimming pool over here. And Jesus says, pick up your mat and walk. And then people say, who told you to pick up that mat? You know, they should be excited he's walking. And the guy says, I don't know. The guy doesn't even know who Jesus is. He don't know it's God Himself helping him. And a lot of times when we want our Father in heaven to help us based on what we ask, that's really good. But He's helping us when we don't even know who He is. We didn't ask Him anything specific. He just did it. And ask God to keep doing that for people, you know. That's probably how you met Him. You know, you were just, the only thing I know is I feel terrible. I don't feel forgiven and I don't know what to do. And all of a sudden God knocks the door of your heart and you open it. Wow. And remember too what God can do here. I do appreciate when people say, I sprained my ankle. I put ice on it, took Advil. Used crutches, went to physical therapy for 6 weeks, and now I could walk again. The Lord healed me. I appreciate that. That's true. But remember, in the Bible miracles, okay, this guy had no PT. This guy had no x-rays. This guy had no Advil. Nothing. Jesus, when He says, get up, He got up. God can do that today. We're thankful. Give Him credit for those, what we call Bible miracles, too. And if you want to call your sprained ankle a Bible miracle, that's good. Praise God. But remember, He could do the big ones. Unassisted by human hands. Okay. The Father blesses us when we don't realize it. And taking our trust to Him, our Father knows us the best, loves us the most. I don't know what happened to all my slides. I'm going to tell you what. I'm just going to shut them off. The Father who knows us the best loves us the most. And so we can come to Him. There's nothing we could do that's gonna His heart is for us, but we cannot shock or disappoint God because He's already seen us at our worst. And it just opens the door for us to say, I'll turn to You, dear Lord. So don't beat up yourself or beat up other Christians. God already knew what rebels that we would be at times. Knows us the best, loves us the most. And our Father will always be there for us, something that we cannot be. But sometimes we can jump in and be a blessing, a good lesson to know about God's always being there for us. He'll often send His people to remind us of that. So your visible presence is very important because it is a reminder of the presence of God. That's why when you go to church, it reminds us of God's presence in His people. Somebody's sick in a hospital, when you go to see them, they say, God remembered me. Here comes one of His sons and daughters. Okay? And when people are in trouble, when the Lord sends one of His children, it's a physical reminder of the invisible presence of God. So it's very important to do that. And last, God is always for us as a Father, and He's all-powerful on our behalf. And when you think how great God is, why would you try to live your life without Him? It's a disaster in every way. But you say, oh, Lord, be my Father, because I trust Your Son and I receive Him. And I'm sure if you didn't have a good dad, or maybe you're not a good dad, or even a spiritual dad, you know some who are. And just, multiply that by a trillion, and that's the way our Father in heaven is. He's a compassionate, almighty, everlasting Father. And He's certainly worthy to trust, and He'll love us all the way to heaven. So give Him your heart, put your heart trust in Him, and someday He'll say, here's that mansion I prepared for you. Come and enjoy your inheritance with our Lord. Let's pray together and put our trust in Him. Lord, thank You for each person here. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for being our Father in heaven through faith in Christ. We pray, Father, anybody here feels just out of touch with family life, it's understandable. All our families are broken, but with our relationship with You, Lord, You can make it right between us and You. So there'll be one thing right, and then You bring Your influence and peace into all other areas. So give us that heart of the Father from Your dear way of treating us, dear Lord. Help us to give You thanks, put our trust in You, know You provide every good thing that we have ever experienced. And bless each person here, to family members, and especially, Lord, all veteran Christians who are really spiritual dads looking out for the young ones. It's a great calling. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to close our service with Everlasting God. Will you please stand?